President Museveni has been in power for so long. We accept he has done something, but there is a lot of mess in this leadership.
As you can hear, authoritarian rule and political dynasty are words that some Ugandans used to describe President Yoweri Museveni's nearly four decades in power. For many, that's a lifetime under one president.
Indeed, a lifetime. And the National Resistance Movement, Museveni's party, seems undisturbed by his long hold on power. So is there no any other alternative? And why Museveni?
Because previously we were changing presidents almost every day. You know how many times we were changing presidents in Uganda? Was Uganda better because we were changing presidents? Or is Uganda worse off now because we have one president for a longer time?
Changing presidents every day, really? But some Ugandans say yes, and that the country is heading in the wrong direction. Many, especially the youth, fear a dynasty is taking root.
Talk about the young people. Do they have a real chance to rise to leadership in the ruling party?
You cannot expect that you get a young man joining religion and then the following day she's becoming an archbishop. So we have young people who are being nurtured at a lower level. So that one who is complaining doesn't know perhaps what is happening in Uganda and only relies on hearsay. But those who are on the ground, they know that the ground has since shifted.
Under the baobab today, we are going to be asking that question on everyone's lips. After nearly four decades of Museveni, is Uganda still a democracy or sliding towards family rule?
And more importantly, what does this mean for the young people in Uganda? Hello, my name is George Okachi and welcome to Under the Baobab.
And my name is Mimi Mefoneu. Under the Baobab, we make complex issues personal.
Now, every Friday, we bring you interviews with policymakers, politicians, right, and leaders from across Africa. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and join the conversation. The baobab tree is so wide. And this baobab particularly, we accommodate everyone. And not just accommodating you, we want you to participate in the conversation.
And just before we continue, I want to say thank you to all your support, for all your support to those who have been supporting us, following and sharing and commenting. We see your kind words. We see your comments. Please keep that energy going.
Much appreciated.
So today we are joined by Emmanuel Lumala Dombo. He is spokesperson for Uganda's ruling party, the National Resistance Movement, the NRM.
What our viewers should know, Dombo has been a longtime parliamentarian and has worked closely with President Yoweri Museveni for decades. He even calls Museveni
an icon.
Icon, yes. And Dombo believes that Museveni will easily secure a seventh term in office.
Now, this is an important conversation as Uganda is preparing for its general election in less than 5 months. And Museveni is very optimistic that he is going to win again.
Yeah, to be exact, Mimi, the election is on January 12th next year, 2026.
Yes, in less than, say, 6 months or
yes.
So, yeah.
And the ruling party, NRM, already endorsed President Museveni to run again. Mm-hmm. In the primaries that were rocked by corruption allegations and voter rigging, and it was chaotic.
Raising a lot of doubts about what lies ahead. But is that something that you discussed with Mr. Dombo?
Definitely, I had to start the conversation there because it is a concern for many Ugandans that if NRM, which is the ruling party and, it whips majority support, can be disorganized in their primaries, this can be a reflection of what will happen
when the election finally take place.
Yeah, so let's listen to him.
First of all, I want our viewers to appreciate the magnitude of the type of elections that we conduct under the National Resistance Movement. The election is massive because we even have more polling stations than the national elections. Mm. And when we go to conduct an election to a party that is not well facilitated with its own security system and security apparatus, and we must rely on government, then you see that the need was big and humongous. And so there were likely to be some flaws. So are the national elections will be better because it is more funded, it is high tech, but also the polling stations are fewer.
Yeah, you're talking about it's well-funded, but there are some accusations that the ruling party used taxpayers' money to a tune of 100 billion Ugandan shillings to organize this particular party.
This is not the first time that accusation is being made. To us, this has been basically political manipulation and wanting the NRM to appear bad before its audience, but we have not relied on government money, save for the money that parties receive from government of Uganda.
While the ruling party and its officials won't admit flaws or corruption, many Ugandans are more concerned about Yoweri Museveni's 40-year rule, George. That is a lot. And his supporters are praising him for stabilizing the country. But critics are highlighting worsening human rights situation in the country, limited access to job opportunities, and opposition party leaders being silenced.
You talk about 40 years of Museveni's rule, and you're saying it's a lot. And I'm ashamed to say that I'm turning 40 next year. So it means...
But that's 40 years in leadership, not 40 years like...
Imagine. So knowing years. Only one president. So our interview particularly revolved around this issue of Museveni's long stay in power. And the question is simply, is Uganda, you know, grooming a dynasty, or are we moving towards a monarchy? That is the question I put to Mr. Dombo.
Absolutely not. You would be asking yourself, why are Ugandans so proud of this one person?
Tell us why. Why that, are Ugandans proud of this one person?
Because previously we were changing presidents almost every day. You know how many times we were changing presidents in Uganda? Was Uganda better because we were changing presidents? Or is Uganda worse off now because we have one president for a longer time?
I mean, because, many say it is the same face, the same family, the same story. Why should they believe otherwise?
If there is the same face that has created stability in Uganda, that has created the peace and made Uganda to be one of the leading countries, the leading destinations for refugees in this world, before President Museveni came to power, Uganda was one of the leading exporters of refugees. Right now, all refugees are running to Uganda, to the extent that even other international countries can make agreements with Uganda, wishing to deport their people here, whom they don't like in their own countries. And definitely change will come when its time comes.
You're talking about change coming when its time is ripe. But I mean, the stability you are talking about, isn't there any other person within the ranks and file of NRM who can assure this other than President Yoweri Museveni?
It's not because we don't have other people who do give equal stability, but because once you have somebody who has been tested over a period of time, you can't be sure what the change will bring. Because you have seen many countries in the world where change has been made and the change has not yielded anything better. Look at Libya. Look at other countries where change has been done.
But today, with all due respect, we are talking about Uganda. And the question is, what change are you talking about? This president has been there for over four decades. What change are we talking about?
The four decades of President Museveni has brought four decades of stability, has brought four decades of prosperity. So for us, the question is not the longevity or duration of the president. The question is, what has the president been able to do? And if the president is doing something good, why would somebody complain about that?
Yeah, I'll tell
why
you.
Why should it be a problem?
I tell you why somebody will complain about that. And it is Ugandans we are speaking to. There is a disconnect. When you speak, you talk about the achievements of President Museveni. But many Ugandans we are talking to, they have a divergent view. Is it like these progressive achievements are only being felt by the elites, people like you in the NRM?
Refugees who are running here looking for peace and coming from other countries, are they the elites of NRM? The stability which is here and is bringing foreign direct investment, the rate of economic growth that is happening, is it only happening to the few? The disconnect will always be there to the people who want change per se. Those who may not like President Museveni or those who belong to other parties. But I want to tell you that Uganda is an enclave of security in a region that is volatile. And ask yourself, How have we been able to achieve this?
I have a lot of questions listening to him. He's talking about, Uganda is safe for foreigners to come in. What about Ugandans themselves? Of course, the country should be able to welcome foreigners, people coming in.
Yes.
But we are not talking about people that are coming into Uganda.
We're talking about Ugandans. In Uganda.
Then, number two, when you keep comparing Uganda to other countries, when the questions that you are asking him are related to Uganda.
Directed to Uganda,
It looks like deflecting. Sorry to say it, but that's what I see.
Yeah, it's deflecting. But of course, him standing on the ground that President Museveni has assured all this stability to ensure that refugees from even other countries to come there. We're talking about the U.S. refugees who are people who are deported from the U.S. going to Uganda, which is a very sticking issue as well. But it's a subject for another day.
Right. And in Cameroon, our president would also say that. So when I listen to him, I can't stop but think about Cameroon, especially Paul Biya has also removed term limits. That was in 2008 to stay in power.
Yes.
In Uganda, President Yoweri Museveni is seeking a seventh term after the constitution was amended two times to remove term limits and age limits as well. So what more could he want to achieve with the next term in office that he's not done over the past 40 years?
That's a very good question, Mimi. What will he achieve? What will he do differently after being there for 40 years? And more concerning to many Ugandans is, after Museveni, who next?
Maybe the son.
Yeah, yeah. And you
General Muhoozi.
And the talks about the son succeeding the father are troubling. Many Ugandans are shaking, like, why should it be within
people
around
have the
one,
impression
one
that he's been groomed to replace President Yoweri Museveni. But he has a lot of questionable personality in terms of the kind of things he says on his social media platforms, in terms of, you know, his human right values. I don't have the morality to judge people, but you can be judged based on the things that you say on your social media space when you speak to the media. His son is not that kind of people that what Ugandans would want to see as a replacement for Museveni.
Yeah, clearly, and you will tell that the rank and file within the ruling party have been unable to tame the son of President Museveni, and he's been running rogue,
he can't be tamed, but what are they thinking about him?
That is the question I asked Mr. Dombo, and exactly so, what's NRM's stance on Muhoozi succeeding the father?
The transition arrangement in Uganda is prescribed in the national constitution. We have regular elections after every 5 years. Muhoozi is one of the citizens of Uganda who qualifies to compete for an elective position if he ceases being a member or an active member of the UPDF. But I want to tell you, there is no monarchy being built in Uganda because the stability and the constitutional guarantees will enable Ugandans to elect the leader that they want when that time comes.
We are talking about someone with a questionable human rights record. And my question was, would you endorse him?
First of all, we are going for a presidential elections. And we have a flag bearer. Why would we begin speculating something beyond the coming term, which we haven't even had the elections?
Because
would that be fair to you?
No, because people are afraid that Uganda is in a creation of a dynasty.
How is the grooming done? Because he has been appointed CDF? Is that part of the grooming you are talking about?
No. We've seen him drumming up support of the PLU, which is a faction within NRM, saying that his party won't begin. There have been a number of talks within Uganda and the rank of and file of the NRM that he's the next in command, in chain, rather.
That innuendo by the opposition to say that he's being groomed to succeed his father can only be confirmed when his father is leaving.
Let's talk about the standby generator, because Museveni's case is like sealed. He will be the president until he wishes to vacate the office. So why has the NRM, which is the ruling party, resisted clear succession plan for so long? Is it because there is no credible alternative, or because President Museveni won't let go?
Once bitten, twice shy. Somebody who has gone through what Ugandans went through for the past years would not be asking those questions. President Museveni is a human being, and I want to tell you that he's immortal. And because he's immortal, time will come for him to cease to be. But in a democracy like Uganda, where we have elections, why would somebody be talking of grooming somebody and building a dynasty when it is a democratic process that chooses the person who becomes the president?
George, what I like about Under the Baobab is we cannot have this conversation without involving Ugandans themselves, people on the ground. What do they think? What do they want? What do they think about another term for President Museveni? And would they accept his son?
Exactly. And still, since launching Under the Baobab, we've built a vibrant community. We call it a gang. We guide the conversation. The real insight comes from the members.
That's very important. Mm. And to get a sense of what people on the ground are thinking and saying, our correspondent in Kampala, Frank Yiga, hit the streets to ask Ugandans about their views on another Museveni term and the state of politics in the country.
Mm-hmm. President Museveni has been in power for so long. Well, we accept he has done something, but there is a lot of mess in this leadership. You see a lot of corruption and all those things. It means it has overstayed.
But for me and any other person who is looking at candidates, you look at what the political party is offering, what is in their manifesto, and what is the candidate offering. So when you look at all these candidates, still, you will find that the President Museveni has structures, they have a manifesto. So I think that is what makes him to be a better candidate when it comes to other candidates who are contesting against him.
Next question. Is President Museveni's son, General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, being groomed to take over?
To me, it's very okay. Provided he has the requirements, well, he can stand as a president. It doesn't matter. Even I can stand as a president, provided I do have the requirements. Any other Ugandan can stand as a president, provided you have the requirements. But if he is elected in a fair and free elections, then he is good to stand.
I don't think General Muhoozi Kainerugaba wants a take on Uganda's presidency. Why? I don't think he's born a leader. For him, he's used to the other military way of doing things, of order and directives. And I don't think Uganda needs a person like that.
There you have it. We've heard directly from the people, and many believe change is overdue, especially in leadership.
Right. Those voices echo the concerns of Ugandan youths. The country has one of the youngest population globally, mm-hmm. according to facts and figures that we have from the UN, with over 75% under the age of 30.
Yeah.
But what about youth employment in Uganda and political participation? Those are also important issues.
Very, very pertinent, Mimi. And I'm sticking to figures. According to a study from Norwegian CHR Michelsen Institute,
right.
Almost 40% of Ugandans, young people, are unemployed. And many young Ugandans say leadership stays recycled among the same faces.
The elites.
The elites, as Mimi would call them. And Ndombo admitted the NRM, which is the ruling party, limits opportunities for young people within the party.
Has anything changed recently?
Yeah, that is a question for Honorable Ndombo.
So the young people, those who want to go to school and they want to be skilled, they are being skilled so that they can contribute to the economy. Those who want to join the forces and the army, they have been enabled and created an environment to do that. Those who want to join leadership, we have created opportunities in the youth leagues and the youth associations and an opportunity for them to grow. And those that want to do economy have been given opportunity by government contributing to areas where young people are encouraged to invest for them to make a contribution through commerce and innovation.
Let's talk about those who want to join leadership, because that is the sticking issue. And if power never shifts, what real chance do the people have to lead within the NRM?
You come and see how whether power is not shifting in Uganda.
I don't need to come. You should tell me. You are responsible to tell me that, Honorable Ndombo.
You cannot expect that you get a young man joining religion and then the following day she's becoming an archbishop. So we have young people who are being nurtured at a lower level. We have the members of the National Youth Council. When you look at the structure of our cabinet and the structure of parliament, we have one of the youngest parliaments in the whole of Africa. Why do we have the youngest parliament? It's because the young people have been enabled to do so. So that one who is complaining doesn't know perhaps what is happening in Uganda and only relies on hearsay. But those who are on the ground, they know that the ground has since shifted.
Let's now talk about the opposition. The opposition is on the ground, right?
Yes, yes.
We have people like Besigye being arrested, Bobi Wine also intimidated and arrested. They endure a lot of intimidation, arrest. We see the civic space shrinking in the country.
Yeah, definitely. Uganda is one of the countries where being an opposition figure is very difficult to operate because you may wake up and decide that you're going to church and security personnel think that you are going to for
so can
a rally,
I say rally or...
and they tell you that you are not supposed to go to church and your house arrested.
Right. And it takes a lot of courage to say you sit back and keep fighting for that change that you want to see in the country, risking arrest, jail terms, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Particularly Bobi Wine. He's been arrested multiple times, even placed under house arrest. We know that. He says that he's not going to back down until he wins. Yes. He sees that change that Uganda needs. But with the elections coming up, do Museveni and the NRM, the ruling party, see him as a real threat, George?
Yes, Bobi Wine calls himself the people's president. He still believes that he won the 2019 elections, and he will for sure be standing in these upcoming elections. We've seen in number of by-elections.
If he's not arrested.
Yeah, definitely. And I asked Mr. Dombo if the NRM is afraid of Bobi Wine.
I want to tell you that politics is the art and science of how society can be governed. How do you relate with an opposition which does not want to sit and talk about issues of Uganda?
So do you jail them and curtail their freedoms? That is what you're trying to say?
We have civic responsibilities as citizens of Uganda. If somebody is going to be engaged in inciting violence, should the country be prevented from dealing with such a person in accordance with the laws of the country?
But I mean, the way you deal with the opposition, and particularly I'll mention Bobi Wine with his party, many people see it as the ruling party being afraid of, the whipping support that his party could garner and potentially challenge your presidential candidate, which is unfair.
The evidence which shows the conduct of Bobi Wine is totally different from what he says.
Yeah, but I mean, you are arresting even, the spokesperson of their parties and the rank and file of within the party. If the same was being meted to NRM officials like you, how would you feel, Honorable Dombo?
I want to tell you that some members of the security agencies have been excessive in the way they have conducted some affairs and we have come out to condemn it. And those ones can only appeal to members of parliament who have been enabled by resources and the law to ensure that they oversee what government does. If this continues to happen, let Parliament do their work.
let Parliament do their work, of course. For now, it's time to cool things down here under the barber before we get back to
you
the
heated conversation. You were not having it easy with Mr. Dombo, George. It was not easy.
You know, you have to extract factual information and honest conversation from Mr. Dombo and people like him.
Like you said, under the baobab, this is that time when we retreat to the shade of wisdom under the baobab to lighten the conversation a little bit and also get to know our guests on a very personal level. This segment is called the Rapid Fire Question. Would you prefer coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Kampala or Anaka?
Kampala.
So when you want to relax, where do you go to?
At my age, east or west home is better.
Politics or academia? Where do you feel most at home?
After being in parliament for 20 years, it is in politics.
So your favorite memory from Makerere University, what is that best memory that you will never forget?
When I was elected the guild president of the university.
Interesting. So one Ugandan dish that you cannot resist, even if you are sleeping and you wake up in the morning, you even have it for breakfast.
Millet.
Interesting. So who inspires you the most in leadership?
Before President Museveni came to the scene, I was inspired by Nyerere and people like Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
But after serving under President Museveni for this long and admiring him, he's my icon.
I didn't expect a different response. So what is your favorite book?
The Bible.
The Bible? Wow. So have you ever told a lie to protect President Yoweri Museveni?
Told a lie?
Yes.
To protect the president?
To protect his image, protect his leadership and him as a person.
First of all, telling a lie is immoral. I don't want to say that I told a lie to protect a president.
So where do you feel more comfortable? When you are with family or when you are doing politics?
I have been in both. But even when you have challenges in politics, the best place to be is the family.
If you asked to choose one, would you choose
family? Of course.
I always enjoy the rapid fire question segment, Mimi.
Same here. But looking forward, George, yes. The general election in Uganda is set for January 2026. Mm-hmm. You said that earlier. Mm-hmm. Many Ugandans are very skeptical, especially given Museveni's reported use of state resources and security forces during the campaigns.
Yes, and we've already spoken to Ugandans, some who recite in Kampala. And the remaining question should be, is President Museveni and his government ready for a free and fair election contest?
Good question.
I want to tell you that it takes two to tango. For us, as a party, we have never rigged any elections. And if there is any problem with the elections, the Electoral Commission should come up and state if they have any challenges and how they intend to overcome those challenges. But for us as NRM, we want to put up a very fair competition. And we want to defeat everybody fairly using the existing laws, perhaps taking advantage of the incumbency. There are certain advantages that you cannot wish away. And once we do it well, and the people of Uganda like us, then for us, we have delivered on our mandate and promises.
Interesting.
Yeah, delivering on mandate and promises indeed, and taking advantage of incumbency, meaning President Museveni is likely to be voted again.
Yes, and when I look at what is happening in Uganda, I just see the story of Cameroon being written elsewhere from another sub-region.
Mm-hmm.
So many miles away, I should say, but it's like it's the same thing. The leader in Uganda has been there for more than 40 years, and Cameroon B has been there for more than 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports that President Paul Biya was trying to groom his son, Frank Biya, to replace him, and we are having that with General Muhoozi in Uganda as well.
Yeah. Mm.
And we have an election coming up. Biya is 93, very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And in Uganda, we have the elites, the older people still in leadership. We heard Mr. Dombo really saying that, oh, before we were not giving opportunities to young people, which is the same thing in Cameroon.
Yes.
So it's like the same story being told, but from different, completely different country still within Africa. And it's so sad to see that it's happening to this generation.
Yeah, so sad you would say, but because we appreciate also divergent views, I did ask one of our distant uncle, and the question is if he is troubled by the 40-year rule by Museveni.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter question from him is, why not?
Yes, so it's actually okay, George, if that's what the people want.
And he says they are the people and they are the ones who are going to elect and vote him back in.
But George, we listened to Uganda on the streets. They were saying that, of course, Museveni is voted, but they do not trust the electoral process. He's been voted into office, not because that's what Ugandans want. That's because, according to them, the election results have been swayed to favor the government that is in power. They have been cheated. The opposition has been cheated on, like, every time the election takes place, the opposition is being cheated. So it's not a free and fair election.
Mm-hmm. Not free and fair election. And Uganda has been ruled by one person for nearly 40 years. And that is the subject of conversation today. Supporters call it stability, while critics see this as stagnation.
Well, whether Museveni steps aside or passes the baton to his son, the real question is, can we see real change in Uganda, one that many are hoping for?
What do you think? Is Uganda stable or sliding towards dynasty, political dynasty, I should say? Share your thoughts in the comment section.
And for more honest conversation about African politics, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, DW Africa. And where can people find the Under the Baobab episodes?
Definitely Under the Baobab episodes are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course also on our DW Africa page. Thank you for being part of this conversation. My name is George Okachi.
And I am Mimi Mefonewu. Until next time, goodbye.